National Migratory Bird Day here at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Hi, this is Mark Chetta with our friends from Operation Migration. We're invited by Disney to be here today. Liz Condi and Joe Duff are talking to folks here at the Conservation Station at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Lots of folks have come by to say hello. And on display is the trike, which made history, one of the first that went on migration with whooping cranes. It will be donated to the Smithsonian and put on display there. You'll be able to see it at the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. Also, Chris Gullickson's trike is on display here as well. And that trike will be used in the migration this fall as it was last year. Ultralight pilot Brooke Pennypacker is here at the Conservation Station at Disney's Animal Kingdom. And normally, of course, when they wear the costume around the birds, they are completely silent. They don't talk or make any noise whatsoever. Both Joe and Brooke have been entertaining the youngsters coming through. They're wearing the costume, and they have the puppet with them. But they're able to talk and communicate with the kids as they come through, and the parents as well answer questions. We're hearing the recycled garbage can in the background. It's by remote control. He entertains the kids here at the Conservation Station. When you're in costume, Brooke, normally you aren't allowed to talk or make any kind of noise at all when you're around the birds, of course.
That's true. And when I get back to Nisita, like I said, I'm going to have to tape my mouth shut because I've developed a bad habit here talking in the costume. But it's funny. In fact, you know, you mentioned that that little garbage can that's walking around making all that noise. A lady, I heard a lady walk by and tell her kids when they were pointing to me and asking what I did, she said to her kids, "That's how they pick up the trash." With a puppet head, you know.
Fantastic.
And those are the ultralights there.
Oh, I watched a show on Discovery about this.
Did you? Okay, that's what it's about.
Have you ever flown one of those?
Yeah.
And what was it like?
Oh, it's great. It's terrific. And it's even more fun with the birds behind you.
And do they actually follow?
Oh, yeah. They follow. We fly them from Wisconsin down to Florida.
Wow. And what type of birds?
Whooping cranes.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Scott Tidmus is the zoological manager here at Disney's Animal Kingdom. And it was Scott's idea to bring Operation Migration here for International Migratory Bird Day. Scott, seeing Operation Migration here just really makes the day that much more complete, I think. So we really do appreciate you bringing them down. And we'll be hearing from some of the people attending the park today, too.
I'm just excited to have them. I mean, the fact to have an ultralight sitting in the courtyard of our Rafiki's Planet Watch, when you get the guests coming off of their train ride out there, to walk around that corner and see this ultralight that's been used to bring birds that are currently there. I mean, it's just a great storyline. I mean, you can't say enough about what they've done. So it's just a great opportunity. And again, it's a great partnership we're very happy to have.
Well, for a bird, what's their normal? How far will they go in a day?
Well, you see, whooping cranes are thermaling birds. You know, they would fly like a hawk or an eagle. They take off on a day like today when the thermals are working. You can see birds up here now that aren't doing anything at all. And so whooping cranes would do the same thing. They would take off and they would fly, and they can fly all day that way. So they can cover 400 or 500 miles in a day. Now, we can't fly like that, of course.
Right.
So our birds learn to fly on the weight created by the aircraft. As we plow through the air, there's a weight comes off the wingtips, and our birds learn to fly on that. And you can see the picture there of them right on the wingtip. And so that can only happen when the air is calm. So we only get that 2 hours first thing in the morning. Once it starts to bounce around, then the birds have to move away from the wing in order to follow it, and then they have to flat fly, and they aren't designed to flat fly, and they get tired. So we get about 2 hours a day. But on the way back, they revert to their natural instinct, and it took us 60 days to get down last year, and the birds made it back the following spring in 8 days. So,
what do you think migratory birds do?
They fly south for the winter.
And in the spring, they do what?
Fly north.
That's right. Now, why do birds migrate? Do you know?
Because it's too cold for them to survive there, so they leave.
Okay, when they come south, what are they looking for?
Food,
there you go.
But do you know why we celebrate International Migratory Bird Day? Because these birds are special. There are less than 500 in North America. And you may never see one, but we hope in your lifetime you'll be looking up one day and you'll say, oh, there goes some whooping cranes.
You don't want to stand next to one. They're actually taller than you.
They're 5 feet tall.
Wow.
Did you watch Fly Away Home? Okay. One of the aircraft actually flew with the whooping cranes in 2001. So it's a true story, only that was with geese. They're not endangered. In fact, some people don't like them. Most people do, but these are whooping cranes. There aren't very many left, so. Pretty cool?
Yes.
Do you know what a whooping crane is?
No.
Those are pictures of whooping cranes over there, and that's what this is all about. Today is International Migratory Bird Day. Whooping cranes were migratory at one time. There's a limited number that fly from Wisconsin to Florida, and they fly behind the ultralights. That's one of the ultralights they fly behind. Once they learn the route from Wisconsin to Florida, they'll come back in the spring all by themselves. They just did. So you can see some pictures over there, and they're not very old. They're not even a year old.
Wow. But take a look. Now they use the same thing to do that with the geese. And they do the same thing. A different story, but same idea.
Now, you know what a migratory bird is, right?
Isn't that a bird that migrates?
Why do they migrate, do you think?
Is it because sometimes it's too cold in one area?
And for food. When it's too cold, they can't find food. It gets snowy up north, so they come to Florida.
Oh, okay.
Because there's more fast food in Florida.
You don't think so?
No, they can forage and find places to find food down here.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Do you know what a migrating bird is?
You know that one?
Yeah, is it where, like, they migrate from one country to another? And well, they make nests in a different country, like?
They can.
Move to another country?
In our country, they go from Canada to the south. In our case, the birds are brought from Wisconsin to Florida. And they go behind these ultralights. They don't know where to go, so the first time they come to Florida, they teach them the path. Now, they don't follow that ultralight. They follow the person wearing this costume, you see? And the person flying the ultralight is wearing a costume. So you see how the birds fly behind the ultralight? Yeah, exactly. Did you see the movie Fly Away Home?
No.
Okay, it's a good movie. Well, that's geese. You did see it, huh? Okay. See, that's the same thing we're doing here.
Why don't they migrate from there?
Well, they don't know the path. The birds, in 1941, there were only 15 birds left. So these birds are a new flock. The other birds that exist go from Canada to Texas, Aransas, Texas, and there are less than 300 of those. But these chicks that you see in these pictures were all eggs taken from the Canada flock. So they're trying to establish a second flock in case something happens to the one that is natural. They hope that they get up to 125 and the birds start reproducing on their own. So far they've had one chick, and that was in 2006. So where are you folks from?
England.
Whereabouts in England?
Birmingham.
So what does International Migratory Bird Day mean to you?
I think it's a good day because people can study about all the birds that migrate and how they're endangered and stuff.
So you know what a whooping crane is, right?
It is a big bird with a long beak. That's what I know about it.
And today is International Migratory Bird Day.
Yes, it is.
And you know what migratory birds do?
They migrate from north to south in the winter so that they can go to a warmer climate.
And they go to the warmer climate, why do you think?
Because most of their food is there, and they want to go to warmer climates, and also the food starts to die out in the north, and usually in the winter.
I want to know if you gals know what International Migratory Bird Day is today.
It's when the birds migrate.
Yeah.
We're talking about whooping cranes here, but there are a lot of birds.
This is really cute.
I love birds.
I love birds, too. I do.
They scare me,
and
but...
Like, if we didn't have birds, then I guess like nature wouldn't really be... I mean, birds are everywhere in the planet, so...
Well, you see, when you save the habitat for birds, like whooping cranes, it affects other animals, turtles and amphibian creatures and things that people don't think much about. So it all comes together, and we're talking about being green these days, so International Migratory Bird Day is important. Now, do you know what a whooping crane is?
Nope, not really. Yeah, I've seen those.
Have you guys ever seen the movie Fly Away Home?
Yes, I love that movie.
Yes, I love that movie too.
Yes. It's sad I cried in the beginning.
The reason they have to teach them migration is because they don't know the way. Once you teach them, they keep doing it. And they'll teach their young. But right now they don't have any young, so we're hoping that they will have eggs and hatch babies. It's International Migratory Bird Day at Disney's Animal Kingdom. I've been talking with some of the guests in the park today. At one point, I went over and sort of eavesdropped on Joe Duff, who was talking with a nice lady and her daughter about the movie Fly Away Home.
It was a lot of fun to film.
Did you do the flying for it?
Yes. We trained all the birds for it.
Oh, that's cool.
Provided all the aircraft.
How accurate was it in terms of how the geese bond with the driver?
Well, that part
was
accurate. Certainly, they basically imprint on the first thing that pays attention to them, so... You just substitute, the parent for a pilot, and they'll imprint on them.
How do you let them go at the end, though? Do they...
Well, that's the whole thing. With Canada geese, it was only an experiment, you see, and our purpose there was to see if it was possible. And then we did the film Fly Away Home to promote the whole thing, but right now we work with whooping cranes. And with the Whooping Crane Project, we wear costumes. You can see the pictures of the costumes there? And we don't talk anywhere near the birds. We don't carry anything. We don't show them anything. We don't. They've never seen a pop can or an automobile or a bicycle. And so our birds are wild when they're released in Florida. There's no human contact. If you were to try to
better for them.
Oh yeah, it's a lot better.
Wow.
If you were to try to approach our birds, they would just fly away. And it's important because
they're good for the bird.
It's good for the bird, but it's also good for people because, you know, don't forget that bird is this tall. And it has an 8-foot wingspan, and it has a long beak that can be very dangerous. And if it feels like it's being threatened, then it'll attack.
Sometimes wonder, all the conservation efforts are fantastic, but I wonder how that alters things with the dependency animals start to get on humans.
Well, that's the thing. That's why we're doing it this way. Our birds aren't dependent. Once they're released, they're wild birds and they're on their own. So they're not fed or anything else. The whole idea, you see, is that whooping cranes, like a lot of birds, learn the migration by following the parent. And so if there's no parent generation to put them when you're trying to reintroduce them, then they won't migrate. They become resident. They just stay around. So that's what we step in. We step in and teach them their first migration, the same as their parents would. And we try to do it as similarly as their parents would. You know, no human contact, no buildings, no cars, no talking, so that they get a very natural experience. And in the end, they're wild. So
congratulations.
Well, thank you. It's not finished yet. We still have a ways to go.